Enjoyed the good singing of the morning. Good testimonies. God's in them all. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That statement there jumps out and grabs me. For you are bought with a price. I'll preach this morning on this thought. Paid in full. Amen. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be in your house with your people, gathered amongst the very in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. Lord, necessity is laid upon us to preach this morning, a burden for the Word of God. And I pray, Father, you to help us to stand and proclaim it, what it is that thus saith the Lord. Pray, God, you to help us to appreciate what God speaks to our hearts. And I pray, God, you'd give someone that's here today the help that they need from heaven. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll turn back with me now to the book of Exodus. Chapter 30. The book of Exodus, chapter 30, verses 11 through 16. We'll try to tie New Testament, Old Testament together. If God doesn't do it, it won't happen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and a half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. A lot of things going on this week at the new building over there. A lot of work going on. On Wednesday night, I'd mentioned that we need some volunteers to go down the hill. And all the trash had blown out of the dumpster and across the yard and had lodged in the thicket of the briars and the thorns down there. And I'd ask people if they'd come help, and we'd maybe talk about a work day or whatever. And so I don't know. I guess it was about Thursday afternoon. I'd been up here all day and went home and got my wife. We went and got about to eat for lunch and picked up the kids and brought them home and told my wife, said, I need to go back up there and start working on that trash down the hill. I've done it two times already, but it looked so bad. It looked like instead of me picking it up, it looked like I'd throwed it down there. It was terrible. So when I got back up here, Brother Floyd Street, I know he'll shoot me for saying it, but he was already down the hill, been working down there hour and a half, 2 hours. Brother Randy comes, said, I'll help you. And so we went down, started trying to help Brother Floyd finish up down there. And I'm telling you, I am cut all to pieces, my hands and my arms, and even got through my pants legs, my blue jeans, and tore my legs all to pieces down in the thicket with the briars and the thorns. And while I was down there, I was pretty close over to where Brother Randy was, and right as we was getting ready to finish up, and the Lord spoke to me as I was bending down to pick up that trash and said, I want you to think about what you're doing. And as I bent down there, I got to thinking about how that here I am gathering trash on this hillside, getting cut, tore all to pieces, and thorns, briars, all these things represent sin. God said when man sinned that he put a curse on the earth, and he said it's going to have briars and thorns now and thistles. So that's all those briars growing there, that represents sin. And then the trash, that represents you and I. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Filthy rags is nothing better than just trash. There it was. And we left the top of this hill here to go down that hill to gather trash. And I got to thinking about Jesus How that he left the splendor of heaven to come down this earth amongst the thorns and the briars and the thistles. They even made a crown of thorns and put on his head to reach down and pick up the trash, such as me, such as you. Said, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price, right? And here I was cut and bleeding, nothing compared to the suffering that he had to go through. And when I picked up that trash and got it back up to the top of the hill, when I picked it up, it was still trash. And I threw it into that big dumpster over there, and we tried to cover it up so it wouldn't blow out anymore. But when Jesus came, he went down the hill and he picked up the trash. He shed his blood. He bought us. He redeemed us. When he picked us up, no longer were we trash. Now we are holy unto the Lord. No longer is he going to throw us in a trash dump, amen, because we've trusted his blood. Now we've been redeemed by his precious blood. And I'm so thankful. As we got ready to finish up the job down there, there was a piece of paper laying there, kind of wet, folded up just like so. And what it said on the front of it, I took off shouting. Brother Randy turned around and said, what are you doing? I found a piece of paper here. It says, paid in full. Now, it don't mean much to you because you wasn't there. But I want to say to you that it signified everything to me. Boy, I'm so glad this morning that he didn't just cancel my sin debt. He paid it in full. I want us to study this for just a few minutes this morning. Paid in full. And I'd kind of like to preach backwards if I could. Okay. I want us to say number one this morning. In Exodus chapter 30, we see an atonement of the soul. Now, Jesus is going to give his life a ransom for our sins. And we must realize this morning that in verse number 12, it said that every man would give a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. And this is a type or a foreshadowing in the Old Testament of things that would come to pass in the New Testament. And we all know what a ransom is. You know, I saw in the news the other day where someone kidnapped somebody, held them against their will, and they asked a ransom. Not that they owned that person, but that they simply had a lease on their life. And if someone would come and pay a certain price, the kidnappers would let the kidnappees go. And they did that, and they were let go. And so you understand the ransom by the very fact of a kidnapping. Well, God created us. He owns us. But Adam sinned. You sinned. And I sinned. And the devil kidnapped us. He took us into captivity by his own will. He set a trap for us. But I'm so glad, amen, that there was a price that must be paid to let us go. And it was a high price. It was a price that was the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Up on Calvary's hill, he paid that price in full that we might be let go. Now understand here this atonement of the soul. It says in verse number 15 at the end of the verse that this is to be given as an atonement for your souls. It says again in verse number 16 that is the atonement money of the children of Israel. Now I realize as I was growing up, I had trouble with words like a trespass and iniquity and what justification meant. And y'all ever had that trouble? An atonement. Just what does that mean? What does it mean to atone? Well, let's break that word down, atone, A-T, at, O-N-E, one. That's what it means, to be made at one with God. Someone must atone for our souls that we can be made at one with God. It is also what you would call a covering. The same Hebrew verb, when Noah took the pitch and he began to dab it on the outside of the ark so the ark wouldn't get any leaks, as he began to cover that up, that's what it represents. It is a covering. He said, I want you to give this offering as you're numbered, a ransom, every man a ransom for his soul. That is the atonement of the soul. Some of you looking at me right now saying, I don't know, preacher, about that. Now, wait a minute. I thought the atonement of the soul is by someone must offer blood. Well, look back here in verse number 10. Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. There's the blood as an atonement, but there's also an offering as atonement. There must be a price paid. Hey, Jesus' blood was not free. There was a price that our Savior paid that you and I might be set free. Amen? Someone says, well, freedom, why, it's free. No, freedom's never free. Someone has to pay a price. So there we see the atonement of the soul. We'll try to tie this together. Second of all, I want you to see the amount is set. What is the amount? The Bible says in verse number 13, every man's going to give this atonement for their soul, right? This they shall give, everyone that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. Half a shekel. God set the price for everybody. Half a shekel. In today's economy, half a shekel is 33 cents. That's all it is. 33 cents. But it is required by God. It is the price that He set forth. It is the same price according to verse 15. The rich shall not pay more. They could afford to. And the poor shall not give less. Maybe they couldn't afford 33 cents. Maybe 33 cents was quite a price to them back in that day. But the same price for the poor is the same price for the rich. Understand that the price being set points to Jesus once more, because God set a price. He said there is no remission of sins without the shedding of the blood. There's so many people that think, well, we'll give this or we'll give that, we'll give money, we'll do works, we'll do this, and it doesn't work that way. The only way into God's heaven is by the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing less than that. God has set the price. The rich will not give more, for there is no more than the precious blood of Christ. And the poor cannot come with less. There's nothing more or nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. It must be by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God has set that price. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18, it says, for you know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, right? We're not redeemed because someone paid money for us, or by tradition of your fathers, no. Or by your vain conversation, no. You're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. God has set a price, and nothing less than Jesus' blood would do. Amen. Now, I want us to see thirdly this morning, the act of salvation. The Bible says that they're to give a ransom for their soul, that half shekel, and they're to do that, the Bible's very clear, verse 12, when thou numberest them. They paid as they were numbered. If they did not pay, that there be no plague among them. If they did not pay, they did not give this, there would be a plague come upon them. Now, numbering is significant in the Word of God. Numbering is significant. I'll take my wallet, and there's 10, 5, 20, and 1. That's $35, $36 in my wallet. Now, you didn't count it. Why did I count it? I numbered what belonged to me. I don't go count what's in your wallet. God only counts what belongs to Him. God says, I only want the offering from who belongs to me. Not about a price, amen, of money. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, God only counts the redeemed. Now watch this. Over here in 1 Chronicles, we're coming back to Exodus, don't lose it. But in 1 Chronicles chapter number 21, I can show it to you in Samuel, but I'm going to be preaching that very soon. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, David is going to number the people. He's going to take a census. But it's against the will of God. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And he's going to go out and start counting them. And he tells Joab, his captain, count the people. And Joab says, wait a minute. We're not to number the people without that offering. We're not to number the people that are not redeemed. We're not to number them. David said, I'm the king, and you number them anyway. And when he did, a great number of them died in verse 14. He had sinned against God in that they did not give that offering like they should have, and that he numbered those that were not redeemed. God said, I only count those that are redeemed. I only count those that are ransomed. I only count those that are atoned for. Verse 14, so the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. Oh my. Because of David's error. A man after God's own heart because of his error. So he says, preacher, I don't believe in giving. I'm not up here to preach on giving. That's not my point. But let me say this. I went to see a little woman and a little man that had sickness after sickness after sickness after sickness after sickness after sickness back where I used to pastor at. And I went in there and they said, preacher, can you tell me why this is happening? And I'm going to tell you what, I've always worried about somebody that can tell you why something's happening because they don't know. And out of my mouth it came, if you would give what God told you to, God would take the plague off of you. And I thought, where did that come from? And that woman looked at me and she pointed at her husband. She said, I told you we should have been given to God's house. I told you we were supposed to be given. We've been faithful to that church, but we've cheated God. We've robbed Him, and God will take it out another place. He will send a plague. You can believe me or not, but there it is. Now go back with me to Exodus chapter number 30. I want you to see another thing. It's an act of salvation. Every man had to pay a ransom for his soul. Why did every man have to pay? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And therefore every man, woman, boy and girl, if you're going to go to heaven, because you've sinned, there must be a price paid to let you into God's heaven. And that price is nothing less than the blood of Jesus Christ. That amount has been set. So it is an act of salvation, and the only payment that He'll accept is Jesus Christ. I want you to see number four, the age of the subjects. The Bible says in verse 14, everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. God has set an age. He said it's from 20 years old and up. Some of you that are 19 says, whew, this is great. But for the Jew, the age of 20 represents maturity. It is when they are considered an adult. It is when responsibility falls upon an individual. Today, the age to drive officially in the state of North Carolina, in the United States of America, is 16. Now, some of us older ones would like to forget that. And these younger ones know all about it, right? What is the age to vote? 18. You see there, we as a society, we have set ages as well where people can be accepting responsibility. God says from 20 years old and up. Let me say to you, this says something to me today. God has set an age for all of us. He's what? There is a time when we call it the age of accountability. And I don't mean it's from 20 years old and up that you're accountable for your actions. There's a point in your life, and for every one of us, it may be a different age or a different day, amen, that God convicts us of our sins and shows us that we're lost and shows us that we need to be saved. For me, I was around 12 years old when I first figured out I was lost. I was 8, 9, 10. I knew I'd been a bad boy, but I hadn't figured out I was lost just yet. But everyone, I've seen them get saved at 6, and I've seen them get saved at 95. There is an age of accountability for every person. And you may say, well, I believe if a person under 20 dies, they automatically go to heaven. No. No, no, no. If a person dies under the age of accountability, that is different for every person. That is the time when God shows you what's different, the difference between right and wrong, between good and evil, between righteousness and sin. And it's a different age for all of us. And when God shows you that, You are now accountable for your actions. Might be somebody here today that you heard the message that Jesus saves, shed his blood on the cross, was buried for our sins, was buried, and on the third day rose again. Now you're responsible for what you've heard. There is an age of accountability. So maturity-wise, there is an age of accountability, but also militarily. In Numbers chapter 1, verse number 3, would you turn there please? There's an age of the subjects militarily. In Numbers chapter 1, verse 3, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. That is the point in time when the Jews believed they were, God showed them they were old enough to go out and fight the wars. Let me say something to you. You see this place right here I'm pointing to? Look at me. What am I pointing to right here? There's an altar. When we come to the age of accountability, we need to find an altar somewhere and call on Jesus and get saved. And it's a good place, amen, to get saved in an altar, to confess our sins and to confess Him as Savior. But it don't stop there. It begins there. That is also the place of enlistment. Amen. Brother Drew went off to boot camp. And I want to tell you what, it was tough. It wasn't just an easy thing. There's rigorous training. I'll tell you what, for you and I that are saved, you and I must know there's a warfare that's out there. There's a battle in my flesh and my spirit. There's a battle between good and evil. There's a battle for your attention span this morning in this place. Amen? Militarily, there is a fight going on. Amen? Now, I want you to notice something. There is an appointment of service. Point number 5. An appointment of service. What God do over here? Don't lose Numbers 1. I want to show you something. Exodus 30. Verse 16. Exodus 30, verse 16. He says, I want the rich and the poor, every man to give a half a shekel as a ransom for his soul. Verse 16. Thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Where's that money supposed to go? When they take that half shekel, where's it go? The house of God. The house of God. That is the appointment of service. Now, Numbers chapter 1, he told them in verse 3, from 20 years old upward, they're to go to war. And when they're old enough to enlist, they're to give that half shekel. What's this? Numbers chapter 1, verse number 46. We see in verse 44 where he numbered them. In verse 46, even all they that were numbered were 600,000 and 3,550. 603,550 people gave a half a shekel. That is 30,375 shekels worth. In other words, at 33 cents per shekel, that one offering was worth $9,990.75. That's a pretty good offering to fund the house of God with in that day. Now, let me say this. God's program is always financed by God's people, by God's redeemed people. Always. It is not financed by having bake sales. It is not financed by flea markets. It is not financed by having bingo. I would. That's not what does the financing at the house of God. Well, preacher, what kind of fundraiser are we going to come up with? We're going to serve God and we're going to trust Him. And we're going to give our portion according to His word. It is not, listen, preacher, it's unfair for you to ask me to fund God's house. Really? God gave His Son to pay your sin debt in full. And all He asks you is that you serve Him with your tithe, with your time, and with your talent. Oh, what wonderful talents we've heard here already. How much time is it you spend working at the house of God, doing things and serving God and reading the Word of God and praying? I wonder, do you tithe your time? Oh my. I want to say to you, God don't need your money. Preacher, then, yeah, He does. Then why would you say that? We need God's blessings. God said, you give, you keep my word, I keep the plague off of you. You give, you keep my word, I'll bless you. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Oh, I like that, don't you? It's not a chore to serve God. It's a privilege. But there may be somebody here today under this appointment of service. You've been saved. I mean, you was lost. God created you. Somehow you sinned and got away. Now the devil's kidnapped you. Yet Jesus came and paid a price. You bowed an altar and confessed your sin. The price was paid. You were redeemed. You were ransomed. You were let go. And then, my friend, some way, somewhere, you got deceived. The devil somehow tricked you into some things. Hey, what'd the devil pay to get you? What kind of offer did he make to flip you out of this church and to get you out of here? Did he? What about one bad habit? Has that got you victory? That's a pretty cheap price, ain't it? To keep you from serving God? What about your flesh? Some act of the flesh came between you and God. It was a cheap price that the devil paid, wasn't it? Somebody tricked and showed you a job and said, this is the job you need. Look at all the money you'll make. But the devil knew he'd take you right out of the house of God, take you right out of a place of blessing. Boy, that was a cheap price he paid to get you and to trick you, amen? Did he convince you? Has he holding you for ransom today? Has the devil kidnapped your family? Hey, somebody in this church, somebody you know, somebody dear to your heart, kidnapped. Maybe you. Maybe some of your family members. The devil's trying to hold them for ransom today. I want to share this with you. You're going to have to reach a point this morning where you say, you know what? Everything else pales to what Jesus has done for me, and I'm going to trust him. As a little boy, he and his daddy were going together down the street, Main Street. And he looked in the window and he saw a beautiful boat. Daddy, I want that boat. Daddy, I want that boat. They went in to see about it. And the daddy said, son, I can't afford that boat. And the little boy cried for it for days, for months. But a special day happened, a birthday. And the daddy went in that store, had saved up all his money. And he paid that price to get that boat for that little boy. And he gave it to him. And that little boy was so happy. Oh, he rejoiced so to have what he'd always wanted. And he put it in the stream, and oh, how he played with it. But finally, the little boat got in a quick flowing stream, too fast for the little boy. And he tried with sticks and everything he could to get his little boat back. But on down the stream it went, and it got away. He cried, and he cried. And he came home and said, Daddy, my heart's broke because the boat that you paid for me has gotten away. Daddy, what can I do? So the daddy went out looking with him to help him find the little boat, but they never did find it. Months later, walking down Main Street again, in that same store is a boat hanging up in the window. So the little boy recognized a little chipped out place on the side and said, Daddy, that was my boat. That's my boat right there. Somebody's found it. So they went in and told the store master and said, sir, that's my little boy's boat. He said, no. Somebody brought that in here to get money for it, and I bought it from them. And now if you want it, you're going to have to pay for it. And the little boy said, Daddy, can we get it? And the daddy said, son, that's all I had. I gave all I had before. I can't do anything else. And the little boy, he ran back home, and he broke open his piggy bank, and he counted out all the change that he had, and it was just enough. And he ran back to the store, and he said to the shopkeeper, here's my life savings. It's all I have. Can I have my boat? And he said, certainly, son. That's the price that's got to be paid for that boat. And he reached up in that window, and he turned and gave that boat back to that little boy. And that little boy carried it off, and he said, little boat, once you were mine, but you got away, and I lost you. But today, I've bought you back, and now you are mine. Hey, some of you in this church in the same spiritual condition today. Your family, your need, your situation, something's got away. The price has been paid. And you must come to He that's already paid the price in full to get back the fellowship and the relationship you had with Him before. I want you to stand to your feet. Nobody looking this morning. I want to say this to you as we get someone come to the instrument this morning. I want to stand up in front of everybody and I want to say this. I'm glad I've been numbered with the redeemed,
amen,
with the ransomed. I'm not ashamed of that this morning. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Amen. You and I, there we were. We belong to God. We sinned. The devil got a lease on us. But Jesus came and paid a price that we might be ransomed. Ransomed is where the owner receives back his alienated possession. Why? Because he paid for it in full. I'm glad this morning there was one, when nobody else could do anything to help me, who said, I'll go and I'll pay that boy's sin debt in full. Your head's bowed. There's nobody looking this morning. I want to ask, would you come to the altar this morning? Are you right with God? Does your family have a need this morning? Well, I tell you what, preacher, if it's just a half shekel, I'd give that. Oh, I'd be glad to throw that in the plate if that'd do it. But this morning, the half shekel won't do it. The only thing's going to do it for you, friend, is nothing less than the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's already been shed. It's already on the mercy seat. And it's there for your atonement. It's there for your ransom. It's there for your redemption. It's there to help you this morning if you'd come to Him. Folks are bowing this altar this morning. What about you? What about your family? What about your need today? Come on. Mind Him this morning. Trust Him this morning. Oh my. Yes, that's right. You keep coming. We're going to pray together in just a moment. There's no way it was an accident. God had me run across a little old piece of paper that said, paid in full. Caught up in the briars at the bottom of the hill. Way down yonder we had to go to get it. But God's trying to speak to somebody in this church today. He spoke to me at the bottom of that hill. He's trying to speak to you today. Would you come this morning? We're going to pray.